Lord, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for the honor and the privilege to be part of such a wonderful church. And God, we thank you that you're calling us forward and in this vision that you've placed on the pastoral staff and the leadership of this church. And God, I pray that it truly be the vision of our church for these next few years. And God, I pray this morning that you would spur us on, but also would you allow this next generation to know, Lord, that they are not just wanted to be part, but Lord, you desire to do such great things in them. And Lord, that as we believe in them, God, I know that you believe in them so much more. And God, that you desire to raise up a new generation, God, who would create new pathways, Lord, and discover new things in you, God. And I pray that you would be with us this morning as we look at your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, like I shared last week, Pastor Ron announced that we are moving into a new vision of reaching the next generation, growing younger as a church. He raised not just a concern for the future of the church nationally, which is certainly a concern that many have heard about, but I believe it's also a concern here for us at Meadowbrook. He asked us to carry the burden with him in reaching the next generation. He shared about how he himself has had this burden, and he's asked us to carry that with him as we pursue that. I just want to take what he shared maybe a step further. And last week he talked about how I believe a lot of us have that desire to see the next generation go further and do more than we ever did. That somehow that they could stand on our shoulders and do what we could only dream of. That Meadowbrook would not just continue to survive here in this community and somehow just make it, but really thrive and grow and become a greater influence, not only here in the city, but around the world. Like, I believe that's the future of Meadowbrook if we take what God has already been speaking to us. And in his sermon last week, Pastor Ron talked about Paul recognizing in Timothy what he called a sincere faith that was passed on from his grandmother to his mother to him. And this morning, I want to pick up right where we left off in that passage, because there's a few more verses here. Just in that verse alone, there's so much there for us that I think can help challenge us in as we pour into the next generation that will help guide us. You see, Paul was truly like a spiritual father to Timothy. Timothy didn't really have a dad that was involved in his spiritual life. As far as we know, he was a Gentile, and so therefore he didn't really speak into his life, and that's why here in this passage we hear about his grandmother and his mother. We never hear about his dad. And so this morning, I believe that Paul has a lot to say, not only to Timothy, but to us and to the next generation here with us this morning. And can we just give a hand? Our junior hires are in here this morning. I just love seeing them this morning. Some of our high schoolers are here this morning. I get to hang out with these guys almost every Sunday. We have the best time, don't we, guys? Yes, we do. That's right. And so we always have a great time together. So I asked them to come in here with us today. And the sanctuary is not a scary place. And the church is not a scary place. This is a space that we encounter God together as many generations. So I'm glad that they're here with us this morning. So if you would open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5. We're going to pick up in there. We're just going to read these three verses here in a moment and walk through what Paul wanted to put in Timothy's life. But as I reflected in my own life, as I heard Pastor Ron share this past week, I began to ask myself, what has been passed on to me that was sincere and genuine? Whether it be my parents, or I think about my Sunday school teachers, I think about my pastors in my life, I think about people who really made a difference in my life. What was passed on to me that I hold dear to? And I think it's this very thing. You know what sincere faith for me and genuine faith has been for me? Was an active faith that believed in me. It was an active faith that believed in me. That's what's made a difference in my life. Seeing people who not only believed in God, but lived out an active faith, who said, you know what, I believe in you, I see the giftings in you, and I don't just believe you can do this, I know you can do this. And I know you can follow after God with a genuine heart like I have. And so this morning, let's look at this passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting here in verse 5. Paul says this to Timothy, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now, like I said before, notice that Paul did not mention his dad, Timothy's dad. And which is very odd at the time, since it really was the role of the father to pass on the spiritual teachings and understanding of who God was to their kids. And like we said before, the father was not necessarily absent. He was there, but he was absent as far as it came to spirituality. And can I just say right off the bat here, Pastor Ron mentioned this last week, it takes a village to raise a child. It doesn't matter if you are a single mom this morning, maybe, or single dad, or maybe you're here by yourself and you wish your spouse is with you this morning. You're trying to raise your kids in the way of God, and you feel like this overwhelming weight, right, to do this, right? Can I just encourage you? We are doing this together. We're walking together. We're helping raise up the next generation together. And certainly, it's my role as a dad of my little two-year-old girl to make sure that I'm her greatest influence, but I also know that it takes a village of people, it takes a church to raise a child. And so we're here to do this together. And that's where Paul stepped in. Paul himself didn't have any kids, but I'm sure Paul saw a lot of himself in Timothy. You see, Paul was both Jewish and Gentile. He was Roman. And so he saw himself in Timothy, and he began to speak into Timothy's life, spent a lot of time with him, encouraged him, and now is writing him this letter. And this is most likely one of the last letters Paul wrote. He's in prison, and he's probably thinking about Timothy. And instead of thinking about himself, he wanted to write Timothy and make sure he knew that he was still right there with him, encouraging him, which is pretty cool to me. So Paul brings up this idea of a sincere faith. What is a sincere faith? What is a genuine faith? See, if we're going to pass on a sincere and genuine faith, it has to be a faith that's active. It's not just a belief, but it's active, it's living. So what is faith? Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is defined as this. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and it's assurance of what we do not see. See, a lot of times faith to most people, like if I have a faith in Jesus, is just like, well, I just, you know, he's there, and I'm just going to leap of faith, right? We've heard that before. I'm just going to leap out, and hopefully he catches me. Faith is so much more than that. Faith is founded on our faith in our salvation. When we asked him for forgiveness from our sins, not only did God forgive us, but he redeemed us because of the death of his son, Jesus. And we have faith that Jesus not only lived a perfect life, but through his death, he has made a way for us to God. Now, none of us have been to heaven. None of us have seen that, but yet we believe, we have faith of this hope and assurance of it because of who Jesus is and what he's done, right? That's faith. But a lot of times we confuse faith with just belief. Faith does not just end with believing in Jesus. It doesn't just end with believing that he came and he died. You see, faith is active. It goes on, James chapter 2, verse 19 says that even the demons believe that there's a God. There's a lot of people that claim to be Christians and say, I believe in God, but you don't see it in their life that's active. See, James went on to say that if your faith is active, then it should be followed with works. Not that first works go ahead of your faith, but out of our faith, out of my relationship with God, I begin to do things, act, and I'm beginning to be transformed into a new creation. That's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to do things to win God over necessarily. I am doing things because God's changed my life. And that's the sign of a changed life. See, I believe a generation is looking to the older generation, is looking to us and asking, I know God exists, I know he's there, I believe him, but has it changed your life? Is it going to change my life? See, James even said that faith without works is like a dead body without a spirit. And I'm afraid I don't want to hand the next generation a dead body that says, hey, just go to church and, you know, just believe in God, that's good enough. It's not. See, going to church is just the beginning, and having a belief in him is just the beginning. It should be active. It should motivate us. It should change us, because that's what we see here in Scripture. Let me read you this quote from John MacArthur. He says this, as soon as I get here. He says this, faith is invisible. You can tell me you have faith, but I can't see that faith unless you show me that faith. And you can't show me that faith unless you show it to me in a transformed life. It's not enough to say you have faith. That proves nothing. That's merely an affirmation which may or may not be true. Faith, in a sense, is like the wind. You can't see it, you only see its effects. It's like electricity. You can't see it, but you can feel and enjoy and appreciate its effects. See, it's not enough to tell the generation behind us to have faith, and I have faith. We have to show them. We have to show them as we daily live our lives. When I think about my parents and the faith that they passed on to me, And I realize that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. And there's a lot of different stories I could think about, but there's one in particular I think about my dad. My dad owned a construction business and for the longest time. And with a construction business, your tools are your livelihood. You have to have your tools in order to do your job, right? If you don't have your hammer, you can't nail the nail into the wall. You know what I'm saying? And so he had a trailer. It had, you know, he had all his hammers and nail guns and compressors and generator and saws and the works. And he had it all locked up. It was really nice. And he always left it on the job site. So the next morning, guys could get in there and get to work, right? I still remember the day where he came home early. And I was like, why is Dad home early? Like, that's weird, you know? And I told him, I saw him talk to my mom, and he came over, and I was like, Dad, what's up? Like, what happened? He's like, someone broke into the trailer. Someone stole all our tools. And I have to go talk to insurance now, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. I was like, what? Like, someone stole all the tools? Like, that's crazy. Like, who would do that? And why would they do that? And then I'm thinking, well, let's go after that guy. Let's go find him. Like, let's go, you know, do something about it. And my dad was just like, it's okay. It's going to be all right. I'm just going to trust that it's going to be okay. And I didn't quite get that in that moment. Can I tell you guys? Now, it's not that my dad didn't ever lock that trailer. He actually put a full security system on it. If you bumped it and went off like a car, and it had this really loud speaker inside and outside, it had a light that flashed on. I mean, he went over the top on security on this trailer. Like, it's just a trailer, Dad. You know, like, that thing got broken into 3 times. I still remember the third time, because that was the most, like, it happened only 2 weeks after the second one, believe it or not. And I still remember him coming home, and I'm about ready to go out the door. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This happened again? And once again, it was just like my dad had this peace about him in that moment and said, it's okay. God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of the situation. I don't have to fear. I'm going to trust in God. Now, my parents aren't perfect. They're far from it. There's times I'm sure that my dad should have responded in one way, and he didn't. But there are more times than not that when I look back, I look back and I say, my dad lived an act of faith. My mom lived an act of faith. And to me, when I encounter situations where I want to just give in or like, God, are you there? Or can I do this? Can I really do this? I think back to when my parents said, we can do this as a family, and we did. We made it. By God's help and his providence, we made it. I think about the pastor that was our pastor in Michigan that believed in my parents who were young in their faith and said, you guys can do this, and let me show you what this looks like now, and got him involved. I think about my Sunday school teacher who every Sunday morning, she was there. Like, literally, she was it. She was the teacher. Like, think about that. That's crazy. And she did puppets. She did, like, storytelling. She was an incredible person. And I don't think she really realized how much of an impact she was making every Sunday. She was something that I could rely on and I could know I could go to and trust in. I still remember her teaching me about the armor of God and the fruits of the Spirit and all those different things that we learn as kids that if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have those things necessarily, or I wouldn't have learned those things at such an early age. So there's people in our life that we look back and we realize that they're there to show us what it meant to have a real Christian faith. And young people today, kids, our teenagers, young adults are looking for people who've walked down this road before and says, what does this look like now? I don't need you just to tell me. I need you to show me. I need you to walk with me because this is difficult. I still remember when I graduated college and I got my first job, life seemed so big and daunting. And you're wondering how your first week at work is going to go and how you're ever going to do all the things you set out to do. And you get married and then you start having kids, and it's like life's all new again, and you got to try to figure it out in the moment. And it was so helpful to have people that could come alongside me who had a faith, said, I've been down this road, I've walked this before, you can make it. I see it in you, and I know you can walk through this. And that's what Paul went on to say. If you read on verse 6, it says this, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. See, he wanted to make sure that he passed on a faith that was inspiring. Do you hear the intimacy within that passage? Do you hear the heartfelt connection that's in that passage from Paul to Timothy? It wasn't just, hey, you need to try more. You need to do better. You're not quite measuring up yet. those gifts within you, they're about dead. Like, get with it already. Like Paul said, I laid my hands on you. I was there with you. I saw these things in you. And maybe they've started to die down, but would you fan that into flame again? I believe in you. It's not just the kind of belief like, okay, you can do this kind of belief. It's, I believe in you even when you don't believe in you. I believe in you because I see something in you that God has placed within you that if you would just stir it up, you can accomplish so much with his help. Sarah and I, my wife and I, really enjoy watching this show on NBC. It's called This Is Us. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. I won't give any spoilers if you have, you know, seen it. But it's a really great show about humanity and our struggles and some of the victories that we can find as we support one another and care for one another. And one of the key characters to this show is called Jack, and he's the dad. And Jack is your typical dad. He's got his own struggles that you find out about, but he genuinely wants the best for his kids. And Jack also has a really cool mustache. I wish I was as cool as that. But anyways, so Jack, he has a daughter named Kate, and Kate is constantly questioning herself. And Kate has this amazing gift in singing. And her dad is constantly saying, you're beautiful, you have this wonderful gift, like you need to share it with the whole world, right? How many of you guys, I mean, we've all had dads like that at times, or maybe a mom or a grandparent who's like, you have this wonderful gift, like use it. And he encouraged her to apply in a college in the show for singing. And so she was just going to record the song. It's her own original song. But he, being a dad that believed in her so much, was like, we need to videotape this thing because they need to see you, okay? Not just hear you. They need to see everything, you know? And she was really shy about it. She's like, I'm not going to do that. And so as she's singing in her room by herself, Jack in the show opens the door, had the big old video camera. He's like, I got this, you know. And it looked like he had a bazooka or something going in there. Anyways, so he's in there. He's videotaping her. And, of course, she turns around. She's like, Dad, like, what are you in here for? Like, what are you? What's really funny, though, later on, she goes back to her dad and says, you know what? When everyone else has forgotten about me, you haven't. And I'm so glad that you believe in me, even if it annoys me sometimes. You believe in me, Dad. And what you find out about later, I won't give too many spoilers right here, but Jack unfortunately passes away in a really tragic accident. You know what the one thing that she held on to all those years from her dad was? That videotape. And it was that videotape that encouraged her to do some incredible things. It's because one person believed in her when she didn't even believe in herself. And there's a generation that right now has so many giftings, so much potential. I wish you guys could see what I see each week as I spend time with students and see what they're totally capable of. And if we would just have individuals say, I see this within you, you can do this, and I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to keep encouraging you and pointing you in this direction until you see it within yourself. And what we speak over each other is what we're going to become. If we're just going to speak, you're not good enough, and you're just lazy, and you're this and that, and you're not what I, that's what they're going to become. But if we begin to speak, you can do this, I see something within you that I didn't even see in myself, that you have something unique and giftings that God has given you, watch out, because God can work through that and in that. I'm not just talking about our kids and our teenagers, I'm talking about our young people. I'm talking about my generation. I'm talking about millennials that are trying to find their way, that have entered into a job market where the doors have been closing day after day, but yet there's something within them, I know it, I've seen it, that God can use. And if we only encourage them and bring the encouragement that they need to begin to believe in themselves once again, part of the problem is not that they don't have giftings, part of the problem is they don't have the confidence to live it out. And if we can encourage them in that way, just like Paul did for Timothy, I believe that we can see a generation unleashed for God. If we continue to walk through this passage, Paul doesn't stop there. He says this, for God did not give us, he did not give you, Timothy, he did not give this next generation a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Do you know who the most stressed out age group is right now in America? According to a study that was done in 2013 by APA, teenagers are the most stressed out age group in America, and I'm sure young people are not too far behind them. Think about it. Our teenagers were born in the time of 9/11. All they've known is terrorism. They've known the threat of a possible shooter coming to their school and bringing harm to them and their friends. They lived through, at a young age, the crash of 2008, where they saw maybe their friends and or even their own families lose their homes because of mortgages. They saw maybe their older siblings or maybe their older cousins go off to college with high hopes, only to find that when they graduated, they only had debt with no job opportunities. There's a reason why there's a lot of fear and anxiety amongst the young people today. But I'm not going to buy into it. We don't have to buy into it. Why? Fear is not of God. Fear is of the enemy. He wants to trap this next generation, believing that there's nothing out there for you, that it's never going to get better, it's always going to be this way. And that is just not true. And I'm sure there's stories, many stories in here, of generations that have gone before us who have faced the same difficulties, if not more, who had a faith and trust in God, who did not buy into fear, who did not buy into the lie, but began to buy into the Spirit of God, what was doing in them, and did incredible things beyond the circumstances. And I think if we would just begin to say, there's nothing to be afraid of, certainly we need to understand where the fear is coming from and have compassion to have those conversations of where the fear is coming from, but we don't have to buy into the fear. Instead, let us point to the Spirit of God that dwells within all of us and those who follow after the Lord, who gives us a spirit of love, a power, and of a sound mind. I mean, hear these words that God said to Joshua, a young leader before he went into Israel. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That is what we need to proclaim over the next generation. There's nothing to fear because God walks with you. He goes before you, and he is for you, and he is with you. We need to tap into the Spirit of God that gives us what we need for love when we don't know how to love, or we don't know how to forgive, or we don't know how to bring about reconciliation. We can point to a God who is all-loving. When we don't know how we're going to have the courage to stand up for truth, what it needs to be said, we can tap into the power of God that gives us a way to give us the words to speak truth in love. When we're confused and unsure of where to go and we feel like we're so restless, we can tap into the God that is of peace. Jesus himself was called the Prince of Peace. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a comforter. That's what Jesus said. That we can lean in to that and be comforted and guided as we walk through life. But if we don't know he's there, we never tap into it, if we're never shown what that looks like, how can we go there? Once again, it's not enough just to say it. We must do it. We got to walk with him as we make those life decisions. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we don't take the opportunities when they come our way. That's no excuse to give up. It's no excuse to give up on the next generation, because I'm sure all of us have failed. All of us have fallen short. All of us have made mistakes. But if we could just believe once again that God is for this generation and for the next, and that he has plans and purposes way beyond we could ever ask or imagine, and look past the mistakes and hand them over to a loving God who can transform lives, I believe that God can raise up a new generation. Here's my question to you this morning. Do you believe that God can use this next generation? Do you really believe it? See, the Word of God tells me that he's the God of all generations. Bible that I read tells me even when a generation failed, yet another one rose up. See, the Bible I read tells me stories of great people who have come before, but yet great people who came after. There is no end. As long as he hasn't returned yet, God's going to continue to pour out his Spirit, and God's going to continue to raise up leaders. He's going to continue to pour out his Spirit in great ways and do great things through every generation. That's what I believe. And that's why I've invested my life in these guys. I love these guys. They may not see it within themselves yet, but I see it. And it excites me. Every Sunday when I get to hang out with the junior hires, every Wednesday night when I get to hang out with the high schoolers, I see it. We can't just believe it We got to live it. We got to live it before them. We must live a faith that is adventurous and active, that shows the next generation there's more to relationship than just coming to church. We must stir up those gifts within them, inspire the next generation, and we must point them to a God who has given them the tools to defeat fear and overcome it with love, power, and a sound mind by the Holy Spirit. We can do it. We can do it. See, my prayer today is that we would be able to relive some of the great testimonies of the generations before us. But more so than that, create our own new stories. I mean, what if we had the audacity of, as the next generation, to believe like Elisha did, that Elijah did some great things, but Elisha asked for a double portion of what God did through Elijah. See, that's my prayer. God, I know you've done some incredible things. And Lord, that is amazing. And it's helped me so much to have an active faith that believes for so much more. But God, I want to see a double portion. God, I want to see a generation turned on to you like you did back in the 60s with the Jesus movement. God, I want to see revival come across our country for this generation. And for those of you who are my age or younger, or we got to start praying and believing that God can do it. We got to stop believing the lie that we're always going to be here, that our generation is lost. I'm tired and I'm sick of it. I'm going to continue to pray and believe that God can and move through this generation. So this morning, do you believe it? Can you see it? Today, if you believe it and you can see it, why don't you stand up with me this morning? We're going to declare this song. It's a very simple, it's just a bridge. It's just a simple song. We're just going to declare it this morning. And the song just simply says, God, I've seen you do it before. I believe you can do it again. And may that be our prayer today. May that be the cry of our hearts. For those of you who have lived a faithful life and now stand in the cloud of witnesses who spur us on, may you proclaim that over us. God, you've done it for me. Could you do it for them? Could you do it again? For those of us who are my age and believing, God, we've heard these great stories, but would you do it in me? Would you do it in my generation? Would you do something through me, God? I'm here. I'm your servant. I just want to serve you, God. Would you do it? So would you declare this song with me this morning as we sing it together?